Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to look at something with you briefly tonight to encourage you in the Word of God, and then we will take our prayer request and pray. But just a very little simple and yet very profound thing. What is this? This is April Fool's Day, isn't it? April the 1st. So we'll talk about something foolish in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, there you go, foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive right into this. Jeremy, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. Tonight what we're going to look at is we're going to just look at three simple things concerning the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, this isn't just April Fool's Day. People refer to Friday coming up as Good Friday. And they refer to that in the Easter week as the day of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Sunday as the day of His resurrection. Now the truth of the matter is, and we're not going to go into the Bible study tonight about the doctrine, but the truth of the matter is, when you read the Bible and you take all the days before the crucifixion and work them up to the day that He was crucified and all the days from the resurrection back, the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday. And it would have been at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Jerusalem time, that He actually died and was pierced in His side by the soldier. And it was then the request to Pilate and taking Him down to the cross where Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea then had Him in the tomb by sunset or 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. So it's a very important day, not only to preach on foolishness because of April Fool's Day, but more importantly because this is the day that would commemorate the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it about the cross? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And may I say, first of all, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of salvation, or the power of God unto salvation. That's what it's for. It's how you and I get saved. This aspect of the cross, the power of God unto salvation, this aspect of the cross basically deals with you and hell. We are crucified with Him so that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from our sin, saves us from death, and saves us from hell. Those are the three big enemies that Jesus Christ had to contend with when He died on the cross. Now, the Bible says that the world thinks that the cross is foolishness, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, they think it's foolishness because it's too simple. In other words, there must be something that I have to do in order to deal with my sin and in order to go to heaven. When I talk to people, and I've talked to a lot of people in my lifetime, many of you have talked to a number of people in your lifetime about salvation, they believe that there must be something that a man or a woman has to do in order to make himself or make herself acceptable to God. And if God finds what we're doing in a religious context acceptable, then He will give us eternal life when we die and get to heaven. So they say basically it doesn't make any difference then if a person is Muslim or a variety of religions, or Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness, or whatever, as long as they are practicing their faith to the best of their ability in the religion they're in, God looks past all that and He says, you know what, you've really done well. If anybody could have done that, Paul the Apostle could have done that. Because he said about himself, and nobody contradicted him, that as it concerned the things of the law, he was blameless. And yet, in his own testimony, after he came to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, watch it, of whom I am chief. So concerning the dictates of his religion, he was blameless, and yet he says, concerning sin, I was the chief of sinners, and I needed the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's foolish to the world. They think, wait a minute, these people are all doing the very best they can. Why would God not honor that? And the reason God would not honor that is that there's somebody that did better than that. And that was Jesus Christ. You see, he became your sin on the cross so that you could receive him, and by the cross you can receive his righteousness. You know basically what it is? You reach a crossroads in your life. That's what happens. You reach a crossroads in your life. Am I going to keep living my life and expecting God to accept me, or am I going to accept the life that he lived for me and thereby find acceptance with God? That's the road, that's the cross that you have to hit. You give up your righteousness and receive his righteousness. You give up your sin and you take his salvation. And people say, well, it just can't be settled at the cross. And the answer to yes, it can. You hit that crossroad, you have to choose, I'm going to go God's way or I'm going to go my way. And expect God to accept this. He's not going to accept it. Jesus Christ has already been on that crossroad. The path to heaven is narrow. The path to heaven is straight. The path to heaven is exclusive. It goes by Jesus Christ or you don't go. But that's Bible. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator. That's the go-between. One mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as you're walking the path of life and you come to the crossroad, choose Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ. You'll be born again. That'll settle everything. And you will never have to worry from that day forward whether you're going to hell or not. The worst you'll ever see of anything like that is this life that you live. Because everything's better from here out. We've got to have the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. The greatest day in my life was the day that I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior and took what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross and got saved. That's the greatest day of my life. Ever since then, it's just been getting gooder and gooder, better and better. All right, so Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, here's the second thing about the cross, why it's so necessary, the necessity of the cross, or the power of the cross, we should say. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, watch it, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, this aspect of the cross deals with you and your relationship with the world. The first one, you and your relationship to hell, but this is because every sinner without Christ is going to hell. And every sinner saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross is going to heaven. That's all there is to it. All right, this is an aspect of the cross that deals with your relationship with the world. And so here we're looking at the power of God unto separation. The first case, the power of God unto salvation. This is the power of God unto separation. That is, your separation from the world. We sing a song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. But I'll tell you what, it's pretty easy to establish some roots in this world that cause us to want to stay here and to quit looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to be truly separated from the world is not for you to try to be very religious and, you know, wear a long robe and your hair a certain way and not associate with this type of people. You know, the old saying among Baptists was, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with people who do. Well, there's a better way to separate yourself from the world than that. For instance, the world has an attitude. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But the world has an attitude. And the power of God in the cross is to separate you from that and to give you a new attitude, an attitude of one of Christ's children. You ever had anybody come up to you and say, how in the world are you? Or you ever had anybody say this to you? How's the world treating you? When people ask me, how's the world treating you? I say, not very well. I never have gotten along very well with the world, but the Lord is really treating me well. And see, that's an attitude. People look to the world on how they can advance here and how they can get things here and how they can make a name for themselves here. A Christian cares nothing about any of that stuff. You know why? Because he dies to that attitude. He doesn't care anymore. A Christian dies to the fashion of this world. Have you ever noticed the trends of the fashion of this world? The trends of the fashion of this world were this. You know, you wear a skinny tie and then you wear a fat tie. And pretty soon, you hold on to your skinny ties because they're coming back into fashion. And then you wear a coat and it's got a big wide lapel and then it's a short lapel, then it's a big wide lapel again. Or the women, the dresses are long and then the dresses are short and then the dresses are shorter and then they're long again. Hold on to those dresses because they're coming back into fashion. The world is fickle. I wonder what people who, when tattoos go out of fad, I wonder what they're going to do about that. Because they're stuck with that. Anyway, but the fashion of the world changes like that. And you know, the cross of Christ is what crucifies you so that you don't care about the fashion. You're not here to make a fashion statement. You're not here for the pleasures of this world. There are things in this world that I used to love to do. And I don't do or even want to do those things anymore. You know why? Because the appetite for those things has died in the cross of Christ. Are there things that you used to like to do you don't like to do anymore? Yeah. The place is to take your place on the cross and you just die to those pleasures. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. The only way you're going to break that friendship with the world is on the cross of Christ. There's desires for things of the world. There's lusts for things of the world. There are a lot of people that want recognition from the world. You know, Jesus Christ never got very much recognition from the world. Did you notice that? I mean, albeit our calendars are all dated from his time. And everybody seems to know about him, but There are a lot more people, I think, that use the name of Jesus Christ as a cuss word. You ever notice that? Recognition. You have to die to that personal recognition and take the reproach of Jesus Christ. You want him to be glorified. You know, the world has pressure. Right now, there is a tremendous amount of pressure being applied by homosexuals. Do you notice that? You know, if you've listened to any news about what's going on in Indiana and all that kind of stuff, same-sex marriage, a lot of debate going on about that right now, and the Texas Supreme Court is trying to make a decision, our legislature's trying to make a decision right now regarding those things. Alabama just did make a decision. You ought to read that decision from the court in Alabama about that situation, and there's a lot of pressure that's being applied right now by that community. When you die on the cross, you don't care about that pressure. It doesn't mean you're not moved by it. Somebody says, well, if you do that, we're going to come out against you. All right, come out against me. You came out against my Savior and healed him. You know, during the Reformation, there were all kinds of people that were coming after people. And they were burned at the stake. And some were drowned. There was a little girl, she was about 15 years old because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They staked her in a high tide. And that tide rose and rose. And they said, if you recant Christ, we'll let you go. You recant Christ, we'll let you go. That tide rose and rose and drowned her. She never recanted Christ. You know why? She wasn't concerned about personal recognition. Not even in the least. Not even in the least. It wasn't concerned about her life. You know, there's a lot of selfishness in Christianity today. And the cross of Christ is what allows you to die to your selfishness and live for Christ. You know, He's glorified when He's on the cross and He's alive in us. Jesus Christ is the only one, listen, who can take out those desires you have for the things of the world and change those desires for things of heaven you can't even see. You can't even see. I've never seen New Jerusalem, but boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to get there. I've never seen the mansion in heaven. I cannot wait to get there. Jesus Christ is coming back. I've never seen Him, but I cannot wait to see Him. Malcolm Dickman is in heaven. I want to see him. I believe my Father's in heaven. I want to see him. And you know something? That's where my heart is. That's where my desires are. Now go down that list. Let me tell you something. You know what separates you from all this? You say, well, man, I tell you what, you're more concerned about them than the outcome of the Final Four in Indiana this weekend? I am. A lot more concerned about things in heaven than that. And the place where you died, all of that is on the cross. Let me give you one more. The power of the cross, the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto separation. Look in Galatians. You're in Galatians. Look at chapter 2 and verse 20. I'll give you the last one. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now this aspect of the cross deals with God, the power of sanctification. Sanctification, the power of God unto sanctification. It has to do with your relationship with God. Do you know what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is in your life? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life? The purpose, one of the things, is to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't look very much like Jesus Christ when you got saved. And you know something? You look a little more like Him now than you did before. And you know where that's taking place? Here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, Christ is formed in us. What's the best way for Jesus Christ to be formed in me? For me to be in the way or for me to be out of the way? For out of the way. When I was in high school, every summer we'd get out of school, we'd go to the ranch to ride horseback. Back in those days, I probably weighed 100, 120 pounds. I was a strapping young boy. And we'd go down there and we'd ride horseback. Now that horse probably weighed, what, 1,500 pounds? Here I am, a little 100, 120 pound kid. And I get a hold of the reins of that horse, and you know something? I could pull those reins like that and that horse would turn right. I could pull those reins like that and that horse would turn left. I kicked that horse and that horse would gallop or run. Pull back on those reins and that old horse would stop. That horse was 15 times my weight and do anything I wanted it to do. Why? Because it had died to its own desires. It was living to my desires. And I was in absolute control. The cross is the place where you and I find the power of God unto sanctification. That's where we turn the reins of our life over to Jesus Christ, and He now takes charge. Somebody said to me, salvation is too easy. You just come to the cross of Christ and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's all there is to it. There must be a catch. I said, well, there is a catch. He wants control of your life. He wants to rule it, which is really the best thing for you because He knows how to run it better than you do. But the only place where you find the power of Christ is in control of your life is that when you die and He lives in you. You die and He lives in you. So we die that He might live in us. You know why? Because He and I, we can't both be running our lives. We can't both be running our lives. He has to run that life. I mean, if I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, let's go my way and I want you to bless it, then that's not very easy for him to say, yeah, but I really wanted you to go my way. So you reach a crossroads in every aspect of your life. You reach a crossroad in your life that says, are you going to take Jesus Christ and be saved? Or are you going to go on your own way and wind up in hell? The cross, power of God unto salvation. You reach another crossroads in your life, and that crossroad basically says, am I going to go with the world, or am I going to go with God? And the easiest place to go with God is to take your place on the cross. That's the power of God unto separation. And then you get to a place in your life where you say, you know what? I want to be holy, and I don't come by that naturally. And neither do you. So we take our place on the cross. That way Christ can begin to live His life in us and produce that holiness in us. You see, it's impossible for you when you're in trouble to sort out your motives and decide whether your reactions are for yourself or for God. I mean, you're looking out for yourself. When you're on that place in the cross, the only person you're concerned about is Jesus Christ, and He is the one that knows how to glorify His Father through you. I just want to say that if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross, we could not be saved, we could not be separated from the world, and we could not be sanctified unto holiness. But because of that cross, because of what Jesus Christ did nearly 2,000 years ago on a day just like today, we can have those three things. And I'm glad. The world had a hold on me I couldn't break. Cross did it. The devil had a hold on me I couldn't break. Salvation did it through the cross. And now there's a little bit of the holiness of Jesus Christ. There needs to be a lot more. But that's all coming when I take my place so He can do what He wants to do. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to look in the Scripture to see what these things are that pertain to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we learn a greater appreciation for what You've done for us on the cross of Calvary. For we ask You to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.